Be aware of your single eye. And in this guided meditation, we're going to look at the mind. Thoughts and feelings, sensations even. Is your mind separate from the world? Is it in a box there in your head, separate by several meters from the world around you? Or is it an aspect of the world? So normally, we think of our minds as this collection of thoughts and feelings, perhaps, inside you, inside a head there, in a head here, separate from everything around it. And your mind is private. No one can see your thoughts and feelings. No one can experience your sensations. And you apply the same to everyone else. You look at someone and you take for granted that inside their head there, they've got thoughts and feelings and in their body sensations and all of that, which you can't see. It's private, it's hidden. But this is a learned thing. So I'm just going to share with you something about how we learned this. And it's called theory of mind. But I think it helps understand the place of that idea and the importance of it, that model that your mind is in your head, in your body, and everyone's got one and it's private. So when you're a baby, I say, well, you're headless. There's no box here. You've got thoughts and feelings of some kind, feelings, sensations. But it's not going on in a box here. It's just an aspect of the world. And you're not aware in any developed way that others have thoughts and feelings and sensations. It's not given. And you're pre-verbal. You haven't understood that yet. There are thoughts and feelings, you know, as much as there are thoughts. There's sensations around. But they're going on there, along with thoughts and your mum's face and all of that, all going on together. And you're space for it, but without thinking of it in that way. Attend to the sensation of your back. Well, pre-verbal, you haven't learned yet that's a back. Never mind what shape it is. I mean, how long is it? What colour is it? How wide is it? I say, I can't tell. But of course, as you're growing up, you map an image onto that sensation. You look in the mirror, you look at other people's backs. You learn that it is so long and so wide. And your back has, you know, such a shape and colour and all of that. So you map that image onto the sensation. And then that, along with that, goes the idea that that sensation is in you, separate from the world. See, be aware of the sensation of your back. I find no dividing line between the sensation and the rest of my experience. But growing up, I learn to divide it off and imagine it in a container here, and that it is private. Now, they do a test with infants to see whether or not, say, you as an infant have yet learned that your sensations and thoughts and feelings are private. Have you learned that dividing line between that aspect of your experience and everyone else? Which means, you see, when you learn that, your thoughts, feelings, sensations, that sensation of a back is in your back here. When you learn that, you learn that other people's backs have sensations that you can't experience, and other people's heads contain thoughts and feelings that you can't experience. When you learn that there is a face that you're behind, that you can't see, but when you learn that there's a face behind, then your thoughts and feelings are on your side of that face. And inside the boundary of this, of a body here. So you learn at the same time. You communicate as if that's true for others, and they do the same for you. So the test to see whether or not you have got this idea yet is what they do is you're an infant, and they place a box in front of you, and they open the box, and there's crayons in the box, and you see that. They close the box. Someone else comes in the room. They ask you, does that person know whether, you know, what's in the box? Well, crayons are in the box. You have not yet got the idea that your knowledge about what's in the box is private inside your head, and others don't know about it. It's just out there. So you say, well, of course they know what's in the box. I mean, crayons are in the box. Then 6 months later, they do the same test with you. Put marbles in the box, something different. And you know what's in the box. Someone comes in the room. They ask the same question. And now your response is different. You say, well, you know what's in the box. But your thoughts about that, your image of the marbles in the box is behind your face somewhere, it's in your head, it's private. And you understand that they haven't seen what's in the box, so they don't know that they have thoughts and feelings in their head, but they're not of marbles. And that response now shows that you have grown up to a degree. You've understood that there is a separation between you and the world, you and others. And there's a private aspect of your experience and a public aspect. And this is terribly important, obviously. You couldn't function unless you understood that about yourself and about others. And this is becoming aware of yourself as an individual and others as individuals, with private worlds. So the baby, you've not yet understood that dividing line. As a child, you're learning that, but it takes a while. And your default position is this openness where there's no dividing line, no inside and out. But you are continually educated, and you join in the process because at some level you really want to become part of society, and this is the absolute requirement to understand the difference between inside and outside. So in the third stage of the adult, baby, child, adult, you operate from that point of view. And when you look in the mirror, you don't leave the image out there. You map it onto your body. You upgrade your idea of yourself. I mean, you don't think that through, but it's just so automatic and necessary. Self-consciousness. And you apply the same idea to others. So now in the third stage, you are you and you have a private world, and there's a world out there that is public and they're separate. And now you've got all these thoughts and feelings and sensations going on in this tiny little box. And sometimes they buzz around like bees caught in a small box, you know, getting very angry, feeling restricted. You feel restricted and separate. Well, surprise, surprise. What's the remedy? Well, there are lots of things you can do to calm your mind down, of course. And to temporarily at least overcome the feeling of separation. But what else can you do? You can wake up to who you really are. And become aware that your thoughts and feelings are not inside a box where you are, behind a face. That I say my thoughts about the world are out there with the world, my feelings. They're not separate. So look at something in front of you. I'm looking at this wooden staff that I have, I used to do Tai Chi with. And anyway, look at that object. I'll take you through this little observation. Well, you can see where the shape of the object is. The shape is there. And the color of that object and the texture. There it is, out there. But I can't look at that staff that I'm looking at without knowing that it's a Tai Chi staff, or without actually knowing what it feels like. I'm not touching it, but I know the smooth feel of it, of the wood. It's red oak. Now, is that idea or memory or sense of what it feels like over here, separate from the wooden staff there? I can distinguish between the staff there and that. You know, I'm distinguishing between the staff and my sense of its smoothness, but I can't separate them. And what about all the work I did with it, the form I used to do with it? That's somehow there. Is it over here in a box separate? No. When you look at a friend, there is their face, the features, the eyes, the mouth, the nose, the cheeks. See? Now let's say you think your friend is really beautiful. Where's the beauty? Where's your love for your friend? Can you actually separate them from what you feel about them, so that your feelings are private over here inside, you know, behind your face, inside you somewhere, separate from there? I can't. But you're still aware of the model that you've grown up with, that your thoughts are private and your feelings are private, and the person out there is sort of public, you know, everyone can see her or him, but no one can see your thoughts and feelings. You've got that, you understand that, you operate along those lines, but then at the same time you enjoy the fact that there's no inside and outside. This is so healing. And it's true of what you feel, what you think, and your body sensations and tastes and smells, all these things that we learn are private. Okay, got that. But now, is the world public? I look at the chair there. I understand you see the chair, but that chair is my experience of the chair. And in fact, I have no... If we really want to be sure about what is what, I don't know for sure that you're conscious. I never experience your thoughts, your feelings, what you're seeing. But I accept that you are. And I accept that you're over there, that you're listening to these words now. And that you have thoughts and feelings about these words. I accept that model. And I accept that I've got thoughts and feelings now and sensations that you do not have access to. But that isn't the only model, that isn't the only way of looking at things, looking at yourself and others. And paying attention now, I find. No container here, containing some of the things in the world and not others. The only container is this vast openness that contains everything. With no inside or out. And now I accept that you're in the same wonderful condition, that you are built open for everything, that everything is within you, that your mind is at large, your mind is not separate from the world, your sensations. You taste strawberry jam and the universe tastes of strawberry jam for that moment. We find that the mind can be so troublesome. And there's a lot you can do to address that. You can talk to someone. You can do a calming breathing exercise. You can have good posture. And you can see that your mind is not over at your center in a container there, separate from the world. In a way, it's not your mind. It's the world's mind. See that your mind is at large, that it's not separate. You don't have to force your thoughts out. They are raring to go. They're out there. You know, they're like the bell rings and everyone runs out of the classroom into the playground. You don't have to force them out. Well, it's like that. And this is a different way of being. Explore it. Experiment with it. Enjoy it. Try it out. Take it for a ride. And I think that the world loves this. Your world loves this. Having its thoughts and feelings returned. Thank you very much for returning that. We've been missing that for a long time. You know, it's like a library book that has been returned after 60 years, you know. Your mind, the world is saying, oh, thank you very much. We wondered where that was. It's the difference between feeling small and separate and feeling big and not separate. We call the headless way sometimes, you know, seeing who you really are, feeling who you really are. Being who you really are. Being includes all the senses, all aspects. You've been keeping your thoughts and feelings locked away for a very long time. I think it's about time they had some fresh air. Yeah, your body sensation is like a fridge magnet. You know, you've kept it in your pocket for a while, and you bring it up to the fridge, and suddenly it goes snap. You know, your body sensation, my body sensation, I've been keeping in my pocket here. You know, and as soon as I attend, they kind of snap to the world. This is completely natural. You don't have to force your mind out there. Being at home, so whenever you choose, be aware. No dividing line. It's a thinking, breathing world. It's a living world. A living world is a world that thinks and feels